This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, don't forget to send us your PR Podcast plug. It's broken record time here, but I'm going to say it again. This is the easiest way to promote you and what you do. And as a PR guy, I'm great at promoting my clients and I'm horrible at promoting myself. And we all got to get better at it. So send us something cool that you have done. It's not your 9-to-5. It's something that you do in your spare time or on your weekends. It's the softball league that you're in. It's the cooking YouTube channel that you have. It's the award that you won or the book that you just wrote. Let us know something great that you've done recently. Send us a note and get us your PR podcast plug so we can give you some love at the top of an upcoming episode. Send it to me, Jody at JodyFisherPR.com. I'm sorry, at JodyFisherPR. Leave off the .com for the email address. You know how it works. Oh, no, you don't. You don't. God, what am I saying? It's Friday, people. It is Friday. And my brain is fried, as in Friday. But send it to me or send it to at PR Podcast on all the social medias. Send it to me at Jody Fisher on all the socials. But get us your PR podcast plug. Let us give you some love. Now, let me bring on our guest today. He's going to rescue me from myself. Dr. Drew Baharlal partners with his clients on their hero's journey to build their resilience and mindset in order to be more effective, empowered, authentic, and creative, propelling them as business owners and as human beings. His approach combines traditional coaching with the Japanese philosophies of Ikigai and Bushido. He enjoys embracing his creative side, whether he's working with his clients, taking photos, hosting events, speaking, or just exploring the world with his faithful canine companion, Hachi. Drew, welcome to the PR Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Jody. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I love it. So business coaching, how do you get into that?
Mostly by accident. I don't think anyone plans to be a business coach. It's, you know, I tell my clients a lot of times, it's really a winding road, right? You hit different spots on the way. I've had careers in the legal world. I was an attorney for a period of time. I was a prosecutor. Then I moved to doing IT consulting because that's a natural move people do. Because you know life, right? I did IT consulting for a while for government contracts and for private companies. I ended up becoming a business development director, working on sales, those kind of things. In the course of doing all this stuff, I've always had a passion for self-development and building myself up. And then when I switched to IT consulting, I had to manage a team. So I figured out, how do I need to do that? I need to figure out how to build my team up and understand who they are at their core and help them to be the best versions of themselves they could be. That was something they had never heard of. They never experienced that before. People never asked them crazy questions like, what do you want to be doing with your life instead of what you're doing right now? Or do you want to be doing more of that? And so we moved people around. We got people in the right seats and things went really well. And the common denominator for me of all these things was creative problem solving with people, right? And their mindset and understanding who they are at their core and their goals. And that came into business because I had an entrepreneurial spirit since I was a kid. Entrepreneurship is in my blood. And so I've always done it in some way or another. And so I combine that with my mindset work and my human motivational work and understanding human psychology and created a business coaching process out of that. And then I got certified in coaching specifically. So I combined that with all the different philosophy stuff that I work on myself and created my own approach.
That sounds like a great path to your business. Everyone can use a business coach, right? And sometimes people hear business coach and they recoil like, oh, I don't need a coach. But it's more than coaching, right? I mean, how do you describe it to your clients or how do you describe it to anybody?
Well, the funny thing is people, and exactly what you just said, people kind of recoil when they think, oh, business coach, or leadership coach or dating coach or any kind of coach. There's a couple levels of that. Right now, there's a flood of coaches in the market. I use the word coaches with, air quotes and asterisks. A lot of these people are not coaches. They don't know what the hell they're doing, really. And I don't know if I can curse on this, so I apologize for that. But they don't know what the heck they're doing. They got into it during the pandemic and they're just like, oh, I'm a coach because I decided I want to quit my job. And so now I'm a coach. That's not how that works, right? Coaching is a really effective way of inspiring growth in people and helping people to grow themselves. It's a psychological approach. It really takes a lot of psychological theories and things like that. It's not therapy, but it is therapeutic. It's definitely it's undoing a lot of programming that you've had for your entire life. Undoing, that's why I say hero's journey, because it's a story, right? We are the sum of our stories that we tell ourselves. A lot of people tell themselves ineffective stories, like I'm a morning person, or I'm not a morning person, or I'm a night owl. These are things that are, yeah, they might define you in certain parts of your identity, but not really, because you're limiting yourself. Because now when you say I am that thing, that means you're not anything else, right? Or you're not the other thing, other side of the things. It doesn't create opportunities for you or options for you. It creates limitations. And so when you're talking about business coaching or coaching in general, it's helping people identify the stories and their blind spots and opportunities for growth so they can achieve the goals that they want. And then clarifying those goals. Are those goals really what they want? I'll give you a quick story. A client of mine a couple of years ago was a financial planner. And, you know, he was really high-powered financial planner, working with some really successful people. And he's making about $250, $275 a year, right? He's like, I want to get to a million. I don't know why I can't break through the 300,000 mark, but I keep hitting it. I got the 290 a couple of years ago. I'm at 275 right now. How do I get to a million? And I'm like, well, why do you want to make $1 million? And he's like, what do you mean? He recoiled, right? He's like, what do you mean? Why do I want to make? Who doesn't want to make $1 million a year? I'm like, no, I get that. I understand the money piece of it. Why do you specifically want to make specifically $1 million? Why is that your goal? And he went back and forth. He's like, I want to be doing these things. I'm like, all right, let's list out the things you want to be doing that $1 million will enable you to do. And let's see what you can do. All right, cool. So we listed seven or eight. And he was like, okay, these are things I want to do. I'm like, all right, what are those things can you not do right now that $1 million will make you be able to do? Every single one of those things he could do tomorrow if he wanted to. He was holding himself back because he wanted to make $1 million. We dig a little deeper and we find out the $1 million goal didn't even come from him. It came from, it wasn't even indirectly towards him either. He was in a meeting 4 or 5 years before that where he heard another financial planner telling another financial planner that he's like, yeah, I'm almost at that million. That's my goal. I want to get there. And he's like, oh, $1 million. That sounds like a great goal. That's my goal now. It didn't mean anything to him. And so he adopted some goal that he thought was a good idea because it would meant something to somebody else. And now that was his goal. And that's why he never got there. As soon as he lost the attachment to it, the next year he made 750, and the year after that he made a million.
Wow. He
booked a $300,000 marquee himself, right?
That's amazing. And you know, it's funny. I mean, I think we've probably all said that at some point, right? I want to do X. Maybe it's not $1 million, but go on that vacation or buy that house or that car or that watch or that. And it's not even your goal. It's just what's coming from somewhere else externally. Right. And you've fixated on it to the point where, like you said, you've created it as your goal, but it's really not.
Yeah. And you build it up so much, right? You build it up to the point where it's almost on a table. It's like on a pedestal. And as soon as you take it off that pedestal, well, now suddenly it's achievable, right? Because you've lowered it down to your level, or you've raised yourself up to that level, whichever way you want to look at it. You made it unattainable by putting it on that pedestal, as opposed to saying, this is my goal. I'm going to work towards it. How do I get there? And making it clear why that goal is important to you, right? That's the difference between coaching, what real coaching is, and what a lot of people end up doing, which is like, all right, let's make a plan to get you $1 million. Cool. Here's what you want to do. You want to do this and this. That's advice. That's not coaching. That's consulting, right? And there's a difference. And there's mentorship. There's places for all these different things. I'm not saying any of these things are bad, but I'm saying that there is a place and time for that. And that's a difference. To further answer the question about business coaching specifically, people don't think that they need help with business. They're like, I shouldn't need help with business because I know what I'm doing. I know PR. I know sales. I know, you know, marketing. I know these different, I'm a subject matter expert in this area. So I should automatically know the business. And that's faulty logic, right? It's a totally different skill set. Running a business is different from knowing what the hell you're doing in your particular field, right? Those are two different things and they're two different skill sets. And then just because you're not good at one does not mean you're not good at the other, right? And just because you're good at one doesn't mean you're good at the other either. And so people are very self-critical about themselves, and it's a downward spiral because like, I shouldn't need help with this, but I do need help with this. I shouldn't need help with this, but I don't know what I'm doing. And then they end up making a lot of expensive mistakes and wind up in debt 5 years later and wonder what happened. And they shut that business down. That's why businesses fail. It's because of the business owner, but more deeply, it's because of their beliefs and mindsets and stories they're telling themselves.
Well, and I've got to imagine too, building on what you're just saying there, that coaching is not just for business owners, people who operate businesses, whether they have, you know, they're their only employee or they've got a million employees. How can coaching in general help someone sort of get to the next level, or to use your last story, you know, clear things out of the way?
Well, exactly that. It helps you identify the stories and your blind spots, right? We focus so much on what we want to know and what we know. We forget that there's a whole lot we don't know, right? And so it's identifying what we do know, what we don't know, and then what we don't know and what we don't know. And that sounds funny to say it like that, but it's really identifying those blind spots, the things that are holding us back. And it applies in any aspect of life. You can have, that's why you have life coaches. That's why you have business coaches, leadership coaches. Coaching at its core is the same. The principles are the same. It's just applied in different context. And certain coaches have different expertise that they can bring to the table and different lenses that they can bring to the table, right? And so when you're looking at things through a business lens, you'll have different considerations. Looking at things through a leadership lens, you'll have different considerations. Through a more general life lens or a relationship coaches, things like that, they all have different lenses that they're looking at things and different principles that they're approaching things with, right? And so, yes, coaching can help anyone in any aspect of their life if it's done properly, right? But the problem is that a lot of these people who are in these fields, they're in them because they think they're easy. They think they're in them because I saw a blog post a couple of years ago where life coach was like number 7 on the list of things you could do, work from home and start tomorrow. And I'm like, dude, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? And by the way, accounting was also on there too. It was like, you could be a bookkeeper. Do you want some random person who decided to quit their job to be your bookkeeper? I wouldn't. That's called you're signing up for an audit from the IRS. You're doing that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. How do you help people? And let's step away from the business owner for a minute, mm-hmm. right? How do you help an individual work through being that better version of themselves? And let's tap into some of the stuff that, you know, from your background and your interests, the Japanese philosophies and all. How do you apply those?
Yeah, great question. So the Japanese philosophy of ikigai, first of all, that's misunderstood a lot of times in the Western world. People think it's the intersection of your passion, what you're good at, and then what makes money and what the world needs. That's like a quarter right. Ikigai is really about having a well-rounded life, right? It's about having different activities, different things that you engage in to create a well-rounded life and to light up different parts of your soul, right? Because you'll have activities that light up your emotional part of who you are, your mental part of your intellectual side of you. You'll have things that light up your physical side of you. You have things that light up your sexual side or your relationship side. There's all different aspects of who we are, right? And again, we create these stories about shame or about hiding parts of ourselves about who we are, but we need these different parts to feed who we are, right? And then a lot of times you rely on friends or family or partners to fill those gaps. And then when that, if and when that goes away, well, now we have identity crisis. Like who are we without this person now, or without these people or these contexts? Retirement's a great example. You know, a coach I got a couple of years ago, he was an attorney for 50 years, and 50 years is a long time to be anything, right? And now he was retiring. He's kind of forced out, which was a sad story with his firm, but he was kind of forced out. And it wasn't one, it wasn't his choice to leave. So that makes it tougher. But two, now he's trying to figure out who he is. He's like, I'm an attorney. I'm like, you're not anymore, right? You're not an attorney anymore. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to figure out who you are when you were before you were an attorney and who you want to be now that you've had that experience. And maybe it's changed you in certain ways. And maybe you have different parts of yourself that need to be expressed. But what have you been ignoring, focusing on this part of yourself? And what can you now embrace now that you have this time and energy, and redefine yourself and really figure out who you are, who you want to be? That's the kind of the essence of coaching. Again, even if you're not in a leadership position or in a business scenario, you can still use the principles of coaching. At its core, it's really, what results do I want, right? I'm taking certain actions right now and I'm getting certain results. That's the superficial side of things. You see that, right? Think about the iceberg. What's happening underneath all that, what's driving those actions, is your beliefs, your values, your stories you're telling yourself, right? It's all mindset, it's all these things. And that's where coaching lives. It's like undoing and changing those mindsets and those beliefs so that you can take inspired action and then get different results, right? And that's the core of it.
And so is there a light bulb that goes off in someone's head that should tell them, hey, coaching might be the thing that is going to get me unstuck here? Are there things that you tell people, oh, well, that was the thing?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. So that's where it gets a little bit murky, I would say, with terms of like getting people to understand, like, when is it good time to seek a coach? I say typically transition times are the best times, right? Those are the best times to seek a coach, is when you're going through any kind of transition, right? Whether it's a relationship change, whether it's a job change, whether it's a leadership change, either during or before is the best time, because I say there's proactive and reactive coaching. Because then you can prepare for something, right? Like let's say you're a business owner and you've got a great high potential candidate in your employee base. Like, this person's amazing. I want to develop that person to be the next leader in their organization, in their department. Well, now we can proactively coach that person help them through to really find ways to express all their different aspects of themselves, be authentic, be a better leader, be empowered. And then they're ready to take on that next level of responsibility. But then you have reactive coaching too, where it's like, okay, we promoted this person and they're not doing very well. How do we make sure, what are our options for not firing this person, right? How do we make sure that this person has what they need and is given every chance possible? That's also another way to think about it. But those are both transitions, right? One is preparing for the transition and working through it together, and one is reacting to the transition after the fact. So either one of those situations is a good time to hire a coach.
That's great. So everyone can benefit from a business coach then at some point.
I mean, every business owner, yeah, but every person can benefit from a coach of some sort at different times, correct?
Yeah, that's awesome. Tell us a little bit about your podcast. I know you have these really terrific conversations. It's both a podcast and it's a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah. And now it's moving to more, actually just purely YouTube. I still have the podcast episodes from before, but the YouTube channel is still my channel. And I have it's called the Ikigai Leadership Podcast. And I interviewed business owners and folks, leaders in their field, about their experiences and their journeys, right? Because what I want to illustrate is that there's no right way to find success. There's no right way, right journey to get where you want to go. Everything's always back and forth kind of ping pong. You know what I mean? There's no direct line. You find someone who took a direct line from zero to exactly where they want it to be, they're either lying to you, or they're lying to themselves, or they're not real. Those are the three options. Because No one ever takes a direct path. Like, I went exactly where I wanted to go, straight through any obstacles without any issues. I never fought it and I never had any problems. I just got where I wanted to go. Everyone has their journey, right? And the journey is always a back and forth ping pong situation. And these leaders are some amazing people. I mean, I've had Peter Hurley on there. He's an amazing photographer. His story is really inspiring in terms of just what he's done and how he's gone through it. And then I had a friend of mine from law school who did amazing things in Charlotte and really revitalized the Blacks in Technology organization in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she's put on an amazing conference for like $2,000, which is a massive, like 300 person conference, which is unheard of for that kind of budget, right? So you have two extremes. And everyone knows Peter Hurley's name. No one knows Natasha Walwyn Robinson's name, but they're both leaders in their field and they do an amazing job. So highlighting those people is really really a joyful thing for me.
It's great meeting people like that and being able to tell and amplify their story, which is what we do as PR people, you know, and maybe to, you know, to reach a little bit here, but as PR people, we're kind of coaches for our clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we coach them to help them tell the stories that they want us to tell for them, right? To get them that publicity or that attention or that, you know, level up on their visibility. Are there pieces of advice that maybe you would give to people who are trying to, maybe not coach, right, but help people get from one place to another to sort of get to that next level of success?
Absolutely. I mean, coaching is both a role, all three, role, a skill set, and a title, right? So anyone could be a coach in the moment, and you don't necessarily have to be trained to be a coach to do that in the moment coaching for a friend or a family member, right? But as far as people getting where they want to go to, right? Advice-wise, seek outside feedback, right? Everything is feedback. There's no such thing as negative feedback. There's negative ways of delivering feedback, right? But there's no such thing as negative feedback. Every piece of feedback, if you take away the emotion from it, which is difficult to do, I'm saying it like it's easy, but we're all humans. We all are emotional creatures. We're story-making machines, right? And we make stories about everything. It's like, oh, he looked at me weird. Does that mean he's upset at me? Does that mean, you know what I mean? Like, we make up all these stories in our heads. But at the end of the day, feedback is feedback. Separate the interpretation from the actual feedback and say, okay, what can I take from this feedback? What can I take from this? And say, okay, is what this person's saying, does it make sense? Does it apply to what's actually happening? And could this be a blind spot? If I don't agree, could that be a blind spot, right? Is it me just ignoring it? Or is it me being like, wait, I never saw this before, so I'm going to disqualify it. Don't just disqualify things because it's inconvenient. There are a lot of inconvenient truths out there, but they're still truths. And so we want to make sure we face those, right? The other thing is, don't let stories control your life. And I say this again, saying it like it's easy, but it's not easy. I mean, you know as well, in PR, everything's about the story. Everything's about the spin, right? We spin in our heads all the time, right? All the time. Everything that comes, all the information that comes into our heads, automatically, we're looking at through a certain lens, through our lens. And there's a funny phrase. It's, if you ask a fish, how's the water? What's the fish going to tell you? It's going to say, what water, right? It doesn't even
what
notice.
What water, right, exactly.
right? We're all in our own water, right? We're all in our own little bubbles of stuff. And we don't see the water because we've just been in it all the time. It's our water though. And so everything we see is through our color lenses. And then we don't, especially nowadays, we don't take the time to understand other people's lenses or what they're coming from, or the fact that this person doesn't understand my world. So there's no way for me to hold them accountable for what they do or don't know about me. And that's selfish and kind of childish and immature to do that. But we don't take that. We're going to be like, oh, that person's wrong automatically because they disagree with me. So separating the emotion again from the situation and letting go of the lenses and saying, okay, how do I understand this person, where they're coming from, and understand this person's story and let go of my own story to really make it a conversation as opposed to a debate, you know, where someone's right or someone's wrong.
I love it. Great lessons, great takeaways. Thank you, Drew. This has been a great conversation. We are going to segue now into the rapid fire question portion of our podcast. Get to know you a little bit better. This is where we steal a page from Inside the Actor's Studio. I got to update that reference. But we ask our guests a series of rapid fire questions. It's the first thing that pops into your mind, right? Gut reaction, maybe a laugh or two. With your indulgence, here we go. Rapid fire question number one, Drew. What is your favorite news source?
I probably got to say Facebook or Twitter. I'm ashamed to say.
Okay. So you get the news from Twitter. All right. Now, what rapid fire question number two, what's your favorite social media platform?
LinkedIn.
Okay. Now, why news from Twitter and social media from LinkedIn? Why?
I mean, I get news from all three, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. But I like LinkedIn because it's not as, I'd say it's not as inflammatory and not as exaggerated most of the time. That's changing slowly, which I'm not a fan of, but it's relatively professional for the most part in terms of people being able to say, okay, I'm not going to state my ridiculous opinion. I'm going to actually talk about stuff that actually matters.
I saw a recent YouTube video of yours where you went in through some LinkedIn posts and there was someone replying back to someone in, again, a professional platform, mm-hmm. and someone replying saying hi with two eyes. And, you know, it was obviously some kind of spam or, you know, some kind of a scam or whatever. It was like, you know, hit me up, you know, to, and I'll get you a job or something like that. But you were like, no, not professional. Don't think so. And I was yelling. I was like, yes, thank you. Yes.
You know, I caught flack for that in the past when I remember this moment very clearly. I'm actually gonna make a post about this later, but I remember this moment way back from like 2007 or 2006, back when, you know, Facebook was relatively early still. It was still in the timeline. Yeah. And someone made a comment or something, and I corrected. I was like, actually, it's YOU'RE, not YOUR.
Oh my God!
Right, I pet peeve of mine. Right, you're and your, and then there and there. So seriously, pet peeve of mine. The person's response was, "It's social media, man. Who cares?" Right. Meanwhile, fast forward 20 years later now, or 18 years or whatever later, people are reading that as though it's actual reading, and everyone's making the same mistakes, and they don't even know the difference. Right, and then, like I'm like, it's just. Yeah, just
and it says something about you. I mean, it's black and white, right? It's not, to your point, it's not an opinion. This is how you spell this word. This is what this word means. This is how you use this. This is the language, and it would be the same for any other language, right? Doesn't matter. You spell it this way because this is what it means,
right?
And the thing that I always tell people, especially about PR, we're getting off the questions here. But what I tell people about PR is, you put something out there today. That's going to be out there 5 years from now. And conversely, if you put nothing out there today, that's also going to be out there 5 years from now. So what do you want people to find about you 5 years from now? Act that way today.
100%. Totally agree with you.
Yeah. All right. Rapid fire question number three, because this is about you, not about me. Coffee or alcohol or substitute anything?
Tea.
All right. You got a special kind?
Mint, typically mint tea. I like mint tea. It's pretty refreshing. I like it a lot. I'm not a coffee drinker.
Nice.
Alcohol, you see more active. Hot tea.
Hot tea. Nice. Love it. Rapid fire question number four. What's your favorite on the run food?
Good question. Geez, I don't even know. Protein shake, I guess. I mean, just because on the run, easy to make on the run. I don't have to worry about spilling anything generally.
There you go. You got the lid on. Someone told me they like instant ramen cups, and I was like, how is that on the run?
I like those too, but they're not on the run. I got to eat them. They're not.
It's smelling all over the place.
Yeah,
and she said she was in the back of a cab. I'm like, how are you eating that in the back of a cab?
That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Remember the McDonald's coffee thing? What's that? Coffee what?
Remember the McDonald's coffee thing back in the 90s?
Exactly, right?
Yep.
There you go. Rapid fire question number 5, Drew. What do you want to be after you finish this career? You've got a good one, but what's in the future?
Great question. Again, that's a traveler. I want to explore. I just want to explore the world. I do love what I do. So I want to continue doing business coaching and supporting people and with coaching in general, but I want to do it around the world. So I'm starting to do that.
I know
now
you spend a lot of time in Japan, yep. Right? You got a bucket list for anywhere else in the world?
Definitely want to spend more time in Thailand. I mean, go to Thailand and spend there and explore the place. But Japan's number one for me. Thailand. I went to Colombia recently. That was an amazing country. I'd love to spend more time there. I mean, I want to see everywhere pretty much.
That sounds good, man. Well, Drew, this has been a great conversation. Please let people know how they can find you and your business online.
Absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on there. So it's linkedin.com/in/DrewB, DrewBee. I'm on most platforms as that same thing. So YouTube, same thing, DrewBee. The only one's different is Instagram because they're weird. It's DrewVabe, DrewVabe, but everything else says DrewBee. And yeah, thanks so much for doing this, Jody. I really appreciate the time.
Of course. Thanks for joining us today. We will make sure to tag you in the show notes. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The PR Podcast, and send us a question or a comment. Our intro is by Christopher Appolt. You can find him and his fantastic photography on Instagram at Christopher_APPOLDT. Check him out there and hire him for all your photography needs. You can find me online at Jody Fisher on all the socials and on the web at jodyfisherpr.com. We'll see you next time on the PR Podcast.